Welcome to the Ugly Bettys. My name is George.
And I'm the other one named Steven.
Hello. Welcome.
Shut up. And we're here to review season 4, episode 5, plus none. And this was a good episode.
Yes,
as all good episodes are of Ugly Betty. And what was your reaction to it?
Well, so many wonderful moments, but I have to say, such great work from Judith Light in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
She really gets to do the kind of work I love seeing her do, where she gets vulnerable and she gets deep when she's talking about her
past.
Yes. So great work from Judith Light in this episode.
And
bravo, queen.
And guess what? Claire Meek gets around.
Yes.
And we see the group slowly getting their hands into me publishing, slowly. And that's going to come up very, very, very fast, especially in the next episode, and the episode about that. But, you know, this is just, the seeds are starting to sow.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a big talk about the big C word. Cults.
Yeah.
No other C word.
Yeah.
Cults.
Yeah.
Cults. We're not going to even touch that yet. But let's talk about the relationships that happened in this episode. Let's talk about first Wilhelmina and Nico.
Well, I love that Daniel hugs Wilhelmina and Wilhelmina has no idea what's going on.
I said, why did he hug me? Well, because...
And then I love the way Wilhelmina corners Mark to intimidate him. She just, all she has to do is just walk towards him and it scares
him. Why? How? When? How long? So apparently, Wilhelmina gives to charity... gives the children.
Mark has to put up the picture of orphans as a shield.
Like, think of the children and it's a tax write-off. But that's a good thing that that's a good thing. Always have good tax write-offs.
Yeah, and that's a good one is charity.
So. But you should give to charity anyway. Sadly,
that is unfortunately the motivation for rich people, though, tax write-off.
Mm.
I know that's not good, and I'm not saying that should be the standard, but unfortunately, that's why the tax write-off line was in there.
Mm. But everybody should give to charity. Everybody should, yes. I think...
whether you have 1 million or one penny, everybody should give to charity.
Every dollar coin... helps.
Yes,
like,
it does.
I give to charity.
Mm-hmm.
I give to environmental charities.
That's good.
Because, you know, that's my thing. And do you give to charities?
Yes, I give to a lot of LGBTQ charities. The Center, the Trevor Project.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And the Trevor Project is a very important one.
Yes, it is.
When I came out to my mom and it didn't go well, the first place I called was the Trevor Project, and they talked me through it. And then I called one of my other friends. Did I tell you right afterwards when it happened last year?
I don't know if it was right afterwards, but you told me it wasn't quite the response you were hoping it would be. And
yeah.
And then I think we talked about it on this podcast.
Yeah.
Actually, and then I talked about how it's like you have to keep in mind that not only is it a process for you, it's a process for your mother.
And we're different generations. And plus, you know.
And your mother has to kiss goodbye some dreams that she was probably hoping.
Mm.
Not that she can't get them, but it's going to be a different way than she was anticipating.
Mm.
She can still get grandchildren. It just might be done in a different way.
Oh, my mom. You know what? My mom, we were recently talking about. She said she doesn't want grandkids yet. She wants me to live life, experience, see the world, enjoy my life, and have a good career before be comfortable, be safe with my money, And then, like, you know, be comfortable, be able to provide for a child. That's and then good. Get a child into this world or whatever I want to do.
That's good.
And yeah. But everybody should give to charity. If you take anything away from this episode.
You have to say, I love the transition. Who the hell is going to get excited about a charity event? I'm going to a charity event! Betty. Cue Betty. Of course this is something Betty...
I like going to charity events. Charity events are fun.
Yes, they are.
And, like, it makes me feel... No, like, and generally, it makes you feel, like, good that the money that you're spending and the money that you're doing is helping people that need... And helping people and things and places or an environment. Like I said, give to environmental charities. That they need that money... And they need, or like, go do, donate to medical research. That's another great charity. But yeah, and I love how, and we find out that Nico's boyfriend is still alive, right? In this yep. episode. And she's just pumping, trying to pump Wilhelmina for money. And it just makes me so frustrated. It makes me heartbroken for Wilhelmina. Yeah. It's just like, her own daughter is using her, and all she wants to do is love and protect her. And Wilhelmina has changed over these past 3-4 seasons. She has changed as a human being, and she does care. There's only a few people she really cares about: herself, Mark to an extent, and her daughter, and Mode.
And in this episode, Wilhelmina is a great poker player with the detective in the beginning of the episode.
Mm-hmm. That, oh, thumbprint. Are you sure? How Nico is playing it. It just makes me upset. But she's doing her job right. The actress, I forgot her name.
Yaya DaCosta.
She's doing her job right. It's making me hate her. It's like, it made me like, oh my gosh, I remember this happening. Ugh. I hate this. Oh my gosh, I hate that character. It makes me mad. But she's doing her job right, so I'm not mad at her. So what's your feelings on what Nico and Wilhelmina?
Well, I did love that editing. I think it was a jump cut to one of their scenes, but with the zipper.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, God, such fun jump cuts the show gets to do in the editing. Because I thought that was a brilliant jump cut with the zipper. But, yeah, it was interesting for them to bring back Nico, because I don't think we've seen her since, what, season one?
Yeah, it was that episode, and it was played by a different...
Because we didn't see her in 2 or 3, right?
No.
Yeah, because I was like... Because not only did they recast her, because it was a different actress that played her, but we haven't seen her since season one.
Because she was sent to boarding school in France.
Yeah.
And I don't know. And I love what the speech that Wilhelmina gives about how she was talking about her own child, but it's important, you know, to love and protect your children because, you know, they are the future and all children should have, you know.
Well, one of the constant running themes that always comes back to Ugly Betty is family.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter how little money you have or how much money you have, it always comes down to family.
Whether it be your blood or your chosen. Yes. Me stretching my arms to George. Aww. Ugh, gross. This is over with. The moment's over. Yeah, and I'm excited. I forgot how the whole Nico Wilhelmina thing plays out. I forgot how it played out. So I'm excited to see it play out again.
Me too.
And she was.
I have a memory of what happens, but I. If you want to stay surprised, I have a guess on what happens.
I want to stay surprised. Okay. But I love how Mark said, like, you know what? I don't want to scheme anymore. I'm tired of the scheme. And then Wilhelmina say, someone's trying to hurt Nico, and I need the money. I need to stop him. And she said, yes, of course. That was a beautiful moment.
Yeah.
And. Let's move on to Amanda.
Amanda's always going to have her ups and downs as a human. Mm-hmm. Sometimes she's going to get it, and sometimes she's just going to completely miss the mark.
Mm.
Really, Amanda? A Craigslist ad? Oh, sometimes, girl, you're just gonna miss the mark.
It's because she thought she was going a bit mad, and then she didn't want to make Betty feel bad.
And for those of you who need context, Betty had asked Amanda for help in setting up a date.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of Amanda actually putting in the work and asking around people, she puts out a Craigslist ad.
And, because, yeah, ugh.
Come mm-mm. on, Amanda.
Oh, I can't say anymore, because I can say stuff, but I don't want to say talk about my business. But... And I gotta edit that out. But, yeah. It was just tasteless. And at the end of the day, Betty went stag.
Yeah.
But before we go on to Betty's, let's talk about Daniel and Cal and Claire.
Well, talk about another awkward family dynamic in this episode, because guess what Daniel walks in on? Claire and Cal kissing.
And it's the tension now, because Daniel's trying to co-run mode with Wilhelmina and try to be the editor-in-chief, but you know, now that you have big money behind you, big money likes to do some big talking. And Mommy Mead has to be the mediator, and it was just so dirty.
But they had feelings for each other at one point, and those feelings never go away.
And we find out that they had a baby between them that was, according to Kyle's knowledge, was given up.
Mm-hmm.
But Claire put it up for adoption.
Yeah. She was so fabulous in this episode.
And when she saw Wilhelmina's speech, she left and wanted to start track down her kid to see how... Ugh. She...
And we're still in that awkward moment in this episode with Matt and Betty.
Mm.
Will they or will they not get back together? Because you have that awkward moment in the beginning when you think they're going to kiss, but then it turns out to just be an error that Matt was correcting on Betty with her hair, I believe. But yeah, you're still going to have those awkward will they or will they not get back together moments.
Have you ever been in that situation like that?
I've never had a relationship, so I can't really comment on that.
Mm. You never had an ex? Oh, so you never, since you've never been in a relationship, you never had an ex?
No. I wonder if the first person I ever get into a relationship will ultimately be the first person I marry, but we'll see. Relationships take a lot of work, and that's a lot of investment. And I feel like dating in your 30s is very different from dating in your 20s.
Mm.
I feel like dating in your 20s, it's like, okay, we'll go out a couple years. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But the minute you get into your 30s, it's like doubling down. Because then you start to factor in everything like, do I want to spend more than one evening with this person? Is this somebody I want to spend time with? Is this somebody who I could get into a relationship with? Is this somebody who I could marry? Does this person want kids? What if I don't want kids?
Mm.
So there's just a lot of factors I feel. I feel like it's like doubling down when you start dating in your 30s.
And I feel soon I'm going to start dating in my 30s.
Somebody who understands that acting is another full-time job and you're not going to walk away from that.
Nope.
So.
Say it for the children in the back. Nope.
Acting is not something you can walk away from if you absolutely have to do it.
And it's like the thing that makes you feel alive.
Absolutely.
And I'm not walking away from it.
And I'm not walking away from it either. So you have to find somebody who is going to be willing to understand that. Because it's like, no, I'm not going to move willy-nilly to another state. I'm staying here.
And, I mean, like...
Unless it's New York, of course. And I'm booking a regular job there.
But there are those actors who can... Who are, like, I think, doesn't Meryl Streep, she doesn't live in L.A. She doesn't live in California. She lives off.
Well, yeah, some of them do. Sissy Spacek lives in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're lucky enough to get to that point where you have so much money, you can live wherever you
want. Or so much clout that you get to choose what you do when you leave.
Then, you know, some people go and buy out ranches in the middle of this country. I mean, the opportunities are endless. I mean, you can just fly anywhere for work.
Question. If you can live anywhere besides California, and if you're like at a Sissy Spacek level, or like an Allison Janney level, because I had to say Queen's name, or Where would you live that's not California or New York?
Seattle. Mm-hmm. I love Seattle. And it would be a good... I'd be right there if I have a job in Vancouver. I'd be right there for work. And yeah, I would pick Seattle.
Cute. I don't know where I would pick. I'm not mentally there yet. I'm trying to just get my SAC card. Yeah. And Betty, I love what Betty, like, she was trying to fight. Like, you know, I need somebody because I need to prove and show to Matt that I moved past this. But the what show that I moved past with a date. And then she ultimately realized I'm good enough. When she was with Hilda and Justin, they make her realize that you can go by yourself. You earned it. And she goes to the... You can go by yourself. You can go enjoy yourself by yourself.
Absolutely.
I went to parties by myself.
There's no shame in that.
But because who cares? It's like going to a, like...
We all come into this earth alone, and we all die alone anyways. Mm. So, you know, there's no shame in being alone. I hope
you know I'm dragging you down with me. I'm not... It's gonna be like, you're coming with me. As my skin turns to bones. It's gonna be like Evil Dead realness. But yeah.
That was one of my favorite jokes in Mike and Molly.
I didn't watch Mike and Molly.
I liked it. Billy Gardell and Melissa McCarthy were very funny, and they had Mike's mother was at this bingo, and then one of the elderly women died, and the mother was a little spooked because the elderly woman said before she went down, "You're next, bitch."
Or is very Carrie at the end with the hand.
Yeah, with the hand and the jolts.
Oh my gosh. I need to buy that movie on Blu-ray.
It's so good.
It's so good. Sissy Spacek and Piper Laurie.
Oscar nominations from that movie.
And a very young John Travolta.
Yep.
That movie's so good. That needs to be a Halloween tradition. We need to watch that every year now. Okay, I'm putting that suggestion into the box.
All right.
And yeah.
Was there anything else you wanted to cover from the episode?
Remember the song at the end, "Dancing with Myself"?
Yes.
That song is so good. I love that song.
I love Robin. So oof.
That wasn't Robin. That was Billy. Billy.
Robin did "Dancing on My Own."
No, it's "Dancing with Myself." On the floors of Tokyo.
Oh, okay. Oh. Never mind. I thought you were talking about Robin's "Dancing on My Own." My mistake. "Dancing on My Own." I forgot.
No, they never use it.
Oh, okay.
"I'm dancing with myself.
Yep, I remember now.
Yeah, I love that song.
That was a 2009, 2010 song, right?
What, "Dancing on My Own"?
When did that come out? "Dancing on My Own."
It's "Dancing with Myself."
"Dancing with Myself." I keep wanting to say it's "Dancing on My Own," even though it's "Dancing."
Billy Idol. When did "Dancing with Myself" come out? That was 1982.
All right.
I love "Dancing with Myself." That's a good music video. It's very post-apocalyptic realness, and we all need that. Anything else from this episode you want to chat about?
I covered everything I wanted to cover.
I think this was just a good light review episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we got the director's name and the writer's name.
Yeah, and it was directed by Paul Olahan. Mm-hmm. And written by Kara DePaulo.
All right.
Yeah.
Great job, you two.
Great job. It's a good episode. And without further ado, my name is Steven.
My name is George.
Bye.
Bye.